you're ready for the word, say, I'm ready. Me too, and I missed y'all. I wasn't here last week. The stomach bug came and showed up at the Tom Boley household. Anybody else? Man, the stomach bug is just the worst. And it bounced around from different people in our house for 10 days. And the kids are doing well. And I feel like we're back and full of energy today. We've been celebrating Advent and just talking with our kids about the coming of the Savior and celebrating things. They have no clue what's going on, but it's a lot of fun. And they can't pronounce things. So, you know, there's big words when you talk through Advent, locations, and it's funny to listen to them say Gabriel, and he's Abriel in our house. And it's just, it's great. But we as a family, we've always loved watching the movie The Grinch. Anybody else like the movie The Grinch? It's a classic. You can't go wrong with it unless you're in my house, because my two-year-old daughter, Haven, she's so sweet. She is feisty, and I love it. She can't pronounce Grinch. She's been running around our house yelling the B word. And I'm like, babe, she can't do that at school. She goes to school at Cross Church. They're going to be wondering what's happening over here at New Life. It's funny, we have a big inflatable Grinch out in front of our house, and that's our decor for Christmas, and she stands at our door and hollers, "That's a big Grinch." Our neighbors, there's no telling what they think about us, and none of them are ever going to come to church here, so... A couple years ago, my son, Zane, as we were getting ready for Christmas, his Uncle Troy got him one of those Jeeps. Y'all seen the Jeeps, like the little cars that kids ride around in? They didn't have things like this when we grew up in the late 1900s. This Jeep's amazing. It's green. It's got the roll bar on the top of it. It's got the mud tires, the radio, the whole thing. And he loved it. He was about 2.5 years old, and he would drive it. It was fully functioning for him, and there was two controls. There was a kid control, which meant that he had the wheel. He could control the radio. He could press the gas and the brake. And this thing, it kind of moved decently fast. I ended up ordering a little converter off Amazon where you could plug a drill battery up to it. And that thing would go probably 20 miles an hour. He has to wear a helmet. And he loves it. It's amazing. But there's another control, and it's called the parent control. And this control is actually a controller. Have y'all seen this? And the kid thinks they're driving, when in all reality, anything I do on this controller would override every decision that he makes. So he's trying to run into cars. He was successful a few times. And he's running into the curbs, running through neighbors' yards, and just all over the place with this little Jeep. And eventually he realized that when he would turn left, and he wouldn't go left, but he would go right, something's fishy. When he would hit the gas and the thing would break, he's like, what's going on? And eventually he learned that he was not actually in control. That his dad was in control, and that I can kind of override anything that he's doing in that little green Jeep. Why? Because I know what's best for my son. Does that sound familiar to anybody this morning? Maybe in your life, you thought you had a better way. Or maybe you tried to turn left and you felt like God was actually taking you right. Or maybe you were trying to like hit the gas pedal in life and you felt like God is slowing you down in a season. Has anybody ever experienced something like this? This morning, I simply want you to know that we are not in control. We're not in control. I know some of you put your perfect pants on this morning, and you've never gone against the will of God, because how dare you, you know? But for the rest of us sinners, we know exactly what this is like. To go against the thing that God has put on our heart, that he has hardwired us from the beginning of time to do a purpose, and we go the opposite direction. James actually has a lot to say about this in chapter 4. If you've got your Bible, we'll be here all morning. Verse 13, he says, now listen, tell your neighbor, say, listen today, okay? Especially if it's your spouse, say, this is going to help you. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or to that city and spend a year there. carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, and then it vanishes. Would you write this down? Life is a mist. I brought a little illustration for you to see just how mystical this life actually is. This is Yankee Candle cedar spray. So excuse me with the smell. This is what it looks like. This is what this passage is talking about. It's here for a little while, and then it vanishes. Y'all are going to smell that in a second. I apologize. It's very short in light of eternity. I'm going to stop spraying it or I'll start choking up here on stage. It's very short in light of eternity. He's saying that you are a mist. We are a mist. Our life is short. There is a number of days on our life. I came to really encourage y'all today, okay? Appearing for a moment and then vanishing in an instant. Typically, you hear this scripture at a funeral or a celebration of life, right? We've all probably heard something like this. And I just want to say this morning that when we read this scripture, we should celebrate the life that we have right here and right now. That it shouldn't be something that's like a Debbie Downer kind of message, but if you've got a heart beating in your chest, if you've got breath in your lungs, air in your lungs, you know God's not done with your life yet. And that if you could just lean in for a moment, I'm going to communicate a little bit passionately this morning because we have to get this. That if we could tune in for one moment this morning and realize this life is way too short just to let it go by. There's got to be something more to this. What is God wanting us to see? My goal is to squeeze every ounce of God-given purpose and potential out of my life. And also this morning, my goal is to do the same for you. That you could see that God has something for you to do and that you would be bold and do it. The reality is life is so short, but I believe its impact can be so great. Amen? I believe we can make a huge impact if we get this right today. So a question for you. In light of eternity, I want to ask you this morning, are you living your life to make an eternal impact? Are you living your life with eternity in mind, or is it just about what you can see in the present? Because here's the truth, according to the Word of God, when we reach heaven, when we meet our Maker, which that day will come, we will not look back and regret giving God everything that we had. Often, I bet we would look back and maybe regret not giving Him more. Not giving Him more of our time and our attention and the possessions that we have. I've heard a preacher say one time, you don't get to heaven and take a U-Haul with you because your stuff ain't going with you. The only thing coming with you is the people that you reach on this side of eternity, souls. Ephesians 2 is a humbling passage of scripture. It says in verse 10, for we are God's, y'all say this with me, handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So if we trust that the Bible is true, I do, I pray that you would trust that it's true. If we believe that this is true, then this should change how we live our lives. This should change how we talk to people, how we walk around, how we go about our job. Why? Because if we know that a good God created good things in advance, everybody say in advance. In advance for you and for me to do, why in the world would we not do those things? Why would we come up with a different agenda? And spoiler, James 4 says this, if we know what we should do and we do not do it, that is sin. That's where we're going to land the plane today. So James spends his time in chapter 4 painting this beautiful picture, and I'm going to try to do justice to this today. He paints this picture of what it looks like to be either humbly submitted to God or to be pridefully and boastfully resisting everything He has for your life. It's almost like as we approach chapter 4 and we end the series today, that James is standing right at the edge of the cliff and we are approaching the cliff in a vehicle, and he is waving his hands in the air, and he's saying, hey, stop. Take a moment. That if you keep going, you're going to fall off of this cliff, and it is not going to feel good. It's going to cause pain on your life. You're going to feel this in every way possible. He's saying, hold up. Wait a minute. Don't go this direction. He's wanting us to see this. James is warning us. He's warning us that we are either submitted to God or we are not. This morning, you are either submitted to God or you are not. You're either listening and applying and following and serving Jesus, or you're doing that for yourself. I just want to present this to you because as we approach Christmas, I think sometimes we get so fixated on what's to come, we forget about what's in the present moment. Get the gifts and all the stuff's got to be right for the... You gotta put all the things together. I just want to take a moment this morning and focus on Jesus. So what do we do with this? Because at this point, we're all kind of thinking the same thing. Okay, Seth, it's kind of dark. It's kind of a sad message approaching Christmas. I didn't think that you would be a little discouraging this morning. I know you guys had the stomach bug, but you don't have to be like this. So this is where we're at. Okay, I get it. Life is a mist. I got that. It's here and then it's gone. I got it. It vanishes. Awesome. Check. We got it. We're not promised tomorrow. Got it. I'm either submitted to God or not. I got it. But what are we supposed to do with this information? This is what the Word of God says. So teach us to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom. I don't know about you, but I want a heart of wisdom. That's what James spends the majority of his time talking about is wisdom. Our days are like a breath. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Y'all ever met somebody just super secure? They just seem so secure. Even those who seem secure, our days are like a breath. Our life is like a passing shadow. The Bible says that our days are like grass, and when the wind passes over, the grass is gone. Okay, Seth, we get it right. So what are we supposed to do with this? I'm pleading with you today. Would you write this down? Submit to God and resist the devil. Submit to God and resist the devil. James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil. What? And this is good news. And he will what? He will flee from you. This is a promise from God. For years of my life, if I could be honest with you this morning, church, I did the absolute opposite of this. Anybody else? I submitted to all the wrong things. I resisted every good thing that God had for me for a season of my life, and I submitted to what Seth wanted to do. I submitted to what my flesh wanted to do. I submitted to drugs, submitted to premarital sex and alcohol and addictions and pornography and anger and lust. I was a thief for 6 or 7 years. I was so anxious about everything. I would manipulate people. I would live to please others. I feared man. I did not fear God. It was all about me. And I'm willing to say this morning, I'm sure that someone else is here that feels that same way. And I am telling you that life is fleeting, that the pleasures of this world and this life, it is not worth it. Because you will always need more. You can't get high enough. You need more of whatever the thing that you keep going back to, and eventually it doesn't satisfy. What did Pastor Nate talk about last week? Only Jesus satisfies. Please hear me when I say this. Be very careful what you are submitting your life to, and be very careful what you are resisting. Because oftentimes, as even Christians, we get this backwards and we resist God and we submit to what we want. We resist God and we submit to our own agenda. And the reality is this always leaves us empty and unsatisfied. I know for me, so unsatisfied. I want to ask you a question, two questions. What are some things that you are currently submitting to that are not bringing God glory in your life? This isn't for your neighbor. This is for every single one of us. What are you submitting to in your life
What are you giving into in your life that does not bring God glory? And here's my advice, just like the trash that's overflowing in your kitchen right now as we speak, take it out. Get rid of it. Cast it away. Make a decision today. I'm not going back to this thing. Remove the poison from your life. James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. This is great news. The devil has one goal. It's to steal, kill, and destroy every good thing that God has placed in your life. So we know this. God has prepared good things in advance for us, for his children. And the enemy has one goal. It's to steal, kill, and destroy all of those good things that God has prepared in advance for us to do. So we have a choice. Which one of these things are we going to submit to? And which one of these things are we going to resist? My second question, what are some God things? And I wrote down God things because I think often we think every good thing is a God thing. What are some God things that you are resisting in your life? For some of you, it may be biblical community. Some of you are like, every life group launch, you don't come on that Sunday. You're like, I ain't going to that place. Those people are crazy. I can't even get out the building. And I signed up for four groups just so the people would be happy. And I ain't showing up to none of those groups. I know what y'all do. I know. I've done it before. Maybe it's biblical community. Maybe you have felt God leading you to serve the local church. Maybe you feel like God is leading you to open the Word of God on a Monday, starting that devotional that's been sitting on your nightstand. And it's where you put your cup, you know, your drink at night. Maybe it's listening to some worship music on your way to work so that you can remove the anxiety and the fear that you're dealing with about your boss or your job. Maybe it's giving. Maybe it is trusting God with your finances and bringing the tithe to the storehouse so that God could do abundantly more in your life. Maybe it's simply being faithful with what God has put in front of you. Maybe you're resisting something, and I just want to encourage you to identify what are you submitting to and what are you resisting. I like James. James is simple. I tell people often, I'm a simple man. I'm a simple person. Y'all like simple things? I think the simple things are the first to go often. He says, submit to God, resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God. And what does he say? And God will draw near to you. James may be simple, but please hear me. This is a cup of coffee for you this morning. He is very serious about what he's talking about. I left out at the beginning of this passage and in verse 4, he actually addresses this group of people like this. In verse 4, he says this, you adulterers. Everybody say, oh. Yeah, that's not like a kind thing to say. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? Go, listen, James is being strong and using strong language right here to help us understand that when we choose the things of this world and when we choose the things of our flesh and our own desires over the things of God as a follower of Jesus, it's comparable to someone choosing someone else over their spouse. It's comparable to cheating or to betraying or to being unfaithful to them. I wrote it this way, that our relationship with God is not a convenient agreement. It's not this convenient, like, okay, I'll do these things. No, it's a covenant relationship, which means something had to be put to death so that you could live with him, that I could live with him. This is serious. James is saying, hey, this is serious. And then he goes on. It gets even more deep. He says, I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate and the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. And he gives grace. Anybody thankful for God's grace? Anybody need some grace? I need a double portion this morning. I am so thankful he gives it generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but what? He gives grace to the humble. So remember, there's a humble, submitted follower of Christ, and there is someone who calls themselves a follower of Christ that is resisting every good thing that God has for them. So if we want to make an impact with this life that is amiss, we have to submit to God. Are y'all tracking with me? We have to submit to God and resist the devil. The second thing is, write this down, release control. Now, all the control freaks in the room, y'all just got anxious just hearing. I ain't releasing that. I like being in control. If you like control, raise your hand. My hand's up. I like control. Don't be lying in church. If you like control, okay. My people, some of y'all are like, I don't control nothing. Control. Releasing control. Some of you didn't raise your hand because you're like, I'm not going to be controlled by you. That's how controlling you are. It's like, I ain't raising my hand. You loser, you know. So how do we release control? Here's the thing. I have studied this, prayed about this. I went to Bible school, went into debt. I did all these things to learn how do we release control. Y'all ready for it? It is so complex. Let go. Let go. Elsa was onto something. She said, let it go. Let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go. Let it go. Sing it with me. Turn away, slam the door. Cause I forgot the words. Listen. Some of you are experiencing storm after storm in your life because you are the one in control. And you refuse to let go of it. And today, when I even started talking about that remote control car, you got mad at me because you want control so bad. And I'm telling you, I've been there before. And I'm pleading with you this morning. James is pleading with us to let it go. It says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this city or that city and spend a year there. Anybody ever made plans? I've made plans. It says, carry on business and make money. Why? It says you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. James is reminding us that part of submitting to God is submitting our plans to him as well. I love what the Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 9, that the man's heart plans his own way, which is not a bad thing. But the Lord, what? Directs his steps. Where we get in trouble is when we make the plan and we don't even consult God, and we take our own steps. Well, I'm going to do this. I know that I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to do this anyways. This is my desire. This is my dream. Well, I'm just going to follow my heart. Kendra is a planner. My plan is to follow Kendra's plan. It's better that way. Saves a lot of arguments. I just do it. You know, just follow it. Some of y'all are getting, this is a word for you today. If you're a planner in this room, there is no shame with that. But I already know, you know exactly where you're eating for lunch today. You got reservations. You know what chair you're sitting. You knew what chair you were going to sit in this morning. You know what time your tea and coffee break is with Aunt Becky 3 weeks from now. And if anything gets in the way of that, you're going to freak out. I just want to encourage you this morning. Please hear my heart. Release control. Planning is not a bad thing. I actually highly recommend it to be a successful human being, to be productive. It's part of being a productive person. You've probably heard this phrase, failing to plan is planning what? To fail. I'm going to one-up it. Following our own plan and refusing to take the steps that God has ordered is not failure. It's absolute disobedience. So I want to ask you this. Have you ever done this? Have you ever made a plan and then asked God to bless it? Y'all don't be lying. I know. I've done this so many times. Well, God, why didn't this work the way I thought? And he's like, well, it's because you thought it, I didn't. What about simply seeking God and asking for his guidance and his goodness to lead us every day in the way everlasting? That's a good plan, right? So James, this is what he's saying. I want to break this down. He says today or tomorrow, this is what that means. It means you're setting your own schedule. When you say, we'll go to this city, it means you're selecting your own path. When you say, I'll spend a year there, it means you're placing your own limits. When you say, I'll engage in business, you are arranging your own activities. And the last one, he says, then make a profit. It means that you're predicting what the outcome will be. Do y'all see how dangerous this could be? We all have done this in some capacity. But I just want to plead with you this morning. James is saying, why in the world would you set your schedule? Would you select your path? Would you place your own limits, arrange your own activities, and predict your own outcomes when we don't even know what tomorrow will bring? Are y'all with me this morning? Like, why would we do? Life is a mist. It's not mystical. It is here today. It's gone tomorrow. It vanishes. So let's make the most of it today. How do we do that? We submit to God. We resist the devil. And we release control. We got to release control. It says in verse 15, instead, he gives us the solution. I love that James has got a solution for us. Instead, you ought to say this. This is, if you're taking notes, write this down. If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. These are seven words that can change your life. God, if it's your will, I will. Some of y'all are still looking at me. You should write this on your neighbor's forehead, okay? God, if it's your will, I will. We could just go home after that. James is pleading with us. He's saying, hey, life is short. Whoever made up the lie about YOLO back in the day, y'all remember that? YOLO, you only live once. That's a lie. You're going to live in eternity. And there's a real hell and there's a real heaven. And what we do on this earth matters. It is important. And we need to make the most of it. It says, instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good that they ought to do and does not do it, James says that is sin for them. Question for this morning, church. Does anybody remember when you went and got your driver's license? Go back to memory lane real quick. Y'all remember that? I was 15, approaching age 16, and I failed that driver's test 7 times. Just like the ACT, and y'all didn't know you could fail that. I did, over and over. You can't cheat on that. I tried as well. It's all different tests. And so I went into the driver's test place in Cabot, Arkansas, and the sweet elderly lady was there, and I walked up and would get the test, and she'd be like, oh, it's you again. You know, I did it last week. And you know, I failed over and over and over again. I kept telling this lady, I was like, ma'am, you just need to understand, I'm not book smart, I'm street smart. As soon as I get on them streets, your boy gonna win, okay? Like, and so I end up, I don't know how I passed this test. I think she felt sorry for me. I passed the test, and we got in the car, and you know, you take the driver's portion after the test. Did everybody else have this? You take the driver's part after you take the written part. And I was driving my mom's white Tahoe, and at the time it had 20-inch chrome rims. Those were big at that time. And me and this little elderly lady, we was rolling through Cabot in the Tahoe with the 20s on it. We were listening to the radio. She's like, don't turn the radio on. I was like, no, this is a good song, you know. Let's just relax over there. Put your seatbelt on. So I'm like gripping the wheel, 10 and 2. I am sweating through my clothes, like knees weak, arms are heavy. She was nervous, okay? She was very nervous. She was a little anxious. And I want to tell you, I passed that test. I'm street smart. But the problem was when my mom started having to ride with me, after I passed my test. Because, you know, when you get that permit, you think you're bad, right? You think you just kind of walk a little dead. Like, yeah, that's right. I could drive now. And I remember I would drive her car. She would be in the passenger seat terrified. I'm pretty sure she was having to do drugs just to ride with me. And kidding. And she would be over there. And if you're a parent, you've experienced this. Or if you are a spouse, you have experienced this. When someone else is driving, it's a little stressful in the car. I tell premarital couples all the time before they get married, you're going to fight about 3 things. You're going to fight about money. You're going to fight about sex. And every time you get in that vehicle, you're going to fight. Because one of you can't drive. And the other one wants control. Neither is good. Kendra, every time we travel, we pray not for safety, but we pray for our marriage. Like, I mean, it's like a real thing. Like, and so my mom would be in the car, and she would have an invisible steering wheel on her side, she's like, you know, it's like, you ain't doing nothing over there. Like, she would try to turn the car. She had invisible brake pedals. Have y'all done this? They like stomp the, and it's like, that's not a gas pedal. I'm merging on the freeway. She's freaking out. Hear me today, church. We love the idea of having control. And to hear that life is a mist, for some of you, it causes a little bit of worry. Because the thought of you not being in control of this short amount of life on this side of eternity, it stresses you out. And I want to release you of that in the name of Jesus. That God has given you good things in advance to do. We just have to walk in them things and do them. But the reality is we're either submitting to God or we are resisting him. We are either submitting to the devil or we are resisting him. No one's going to wake up and be like, I'm submitting to the devil today. At least I hope not. Lord, help him, you know. But what happens is anytime we're not submitting to God, that's exactly what we're doing. So I just want us to have a moment today to think about who is in control. Because we are either walking in the good things that God has prepared in advance for us to do and do it, and you're living life and you are blessed and you are seeing abundant things happen in your life, or you are walking away from the good things that God has prepared in your life. And church, I'm pleading with you today. My life changed in a moment when I released control and just simply started asking God to guide my steps. Oftentimes when I get home on a Sunday or the rest of the week, office hours, I'll get home and Zane or Haven will run up to me with a broken toy. It's just obliterated. It's like an army man missing an arm and a leg. And she's completely destroyed this little Gabby's dollhouse toy thing. And they're like, Daddy, you can fix it. And I would like to think, I like to hear that. You know, it's like concurrent. Like, yeah, you're right. I fix it, right? You can fix it. Go in your shop and fix it. And here's the truth. Most of the time, I can't fix it. I'll attempt to. They'll go out there with me and watch me try to fix these things. And they are convinced that their father can fix it. But in all reality, I'm like, y'all didn't see us try to remodel this house a couple years ago. Dad was on YouTube a lot. Anybody ever had a project you shouldn't have been doing? Don't lie, men. Y'all know. Oh, I could do it. You don't have a clue. I'd be on YouTube because I'm prideful. And as a man that struggles with pride, I like to do things on my own. We call that hard-headed. If your spouse is hard-headed, just hold their hand. And I would try to do these things on my own. I was taking down this wall. We flipped this house in Maumelle before we moved up here to Fayetteville. It was a huge blessing for us to be able to move. But in the process, it was like hell on earth. Every time I'd tell someone we're flipping a house, they would say, how's your marriage? It's struggling, you know, like. And I was taking out this wall one day, and I did not want to do what the guy on YouTube said to do, which was to check to see if there was any water lines. Yeah. And I had a sledgehammer. I'm like, oh, chipping Joanne up in this thing. And I'm like hitting the wall. It's like not like the show. And I swung right next to this copper line that supplied upstairs with water. And I mean, I think I like barely nicked it. It was like a little ding. And I'm like, God, you are good. You are, I could see it through the drywall. And I remember I went and got Kendra and she was like, I told you, you know, the word you never want to hear as a husband, like, I told you. The good thing is I brought in a professional. They moved the water line through the wall and ran it through. We had to jackhammer and do all this stuff. Y'all, I would be foolish to try to do that alone with no experience, with no know-how. Have no idea what I'm doing. And here's what I want to tell you this morning. Some of you in this room, you are inches away from flooding your life with pain and regret. And maybe even up to this point in the message, you're sitting here thinking, I can't wait for someone else to hear this today. And it's you that needs to hear it. Because what's interesting about pride is we think this is for everybody else and it's about us. And I'm pleading with you today, don't leave this place with this idea that you are in control or we are in control, because y'all, we are not. James is simple, but man, he's serious. Submit to God, resist the devil, drop your own agenda, pick up the plans of God and walk with him. I don't want to see anyone ruin their life because of one decision that said, I'm just going to do it on my own. What is James talking about in this series? He is a man of wisdom. He's got wisdom. Let's soak this up. Some of you in this room today, you need to say this. I'm tapping out, and I'm going to start tapping into the presence of God. I am tapping out of my own strength, and I am tapping into the abundant resources that God has for my family. Unconditional love and grace. Would you write this down? This is our last thing. Walk in His ways to experience freedom. Walk in His ways to experience freedom. I know for many years of my life, I thought I was free. But the reality was that I was the opposite of free. I thought if I was calling the shots, if I could get mine, if I could make my name known, then that's what life's all about. I didn't grow up in church. I tell you all the time, I didn't go to Sunday school. I was in Saturday school. Like, I thought I was building my own little kingdom. So foolish. I heard a pastor that I look up to tell this story recently about this wild stallion. Maybe some of you have heard this. This horse was very strong, and all it wanted to do was to be free. It's got all the strength in the world. It would run through the wild, and people would try to catch it. They had no chance to catch it. And one day, there was this cowboy that caught this horse, and he began to walk with this horse, and he began to teach this horse. He broke this horse. He calmed it down. He began to lead it to water to drink. He began to take it food when it needed food. He provided for it. He cared for it. He guided the horse. He would shelter him when the cold months would come around. He took care of all of the stallion's needs. And that horse had never been free, but up to that point, it thought that it was free. But the reality is it was confined to its own abilities. It was confined to its own abilities. And it wasn't until that horse fully surrendered and submitted to its master that it experienced true freedom for the first time. I believe that there's a few people in this room, maybe more, and you think that you are walking in freedom, and the reality is it is a fake freedom, and it's called bondage. And if you're the one calling the shots, you're in bondage. And I just want to boldly make a plea with you today to submit to God and to resist the devil. Because James tells us when we do that he will flee from you. Complete freedom in this life, it comes from complete submission to God. So I want to recap, and we're going to pray, and we're going to take communion here in a second. James simply says this: submit to God, resist the devil, release control, receive His help, walk in His ways, and experience true freedom. Across the room, if you would close your eyes. Before we receive the communion elements, I want to pray for a group of people in this room. Maybe you've gotten off track and you have started submitting to your own way and not God's. Today is your day. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. I believe today is a day for us to get right as we approach a celebration of the coming of our Savior, making His way into the world to take on the sin of mankind, to die the death that we deserve so that we could have life to the full. So if you're in this room, maybe you've never put faith in Jesus and you want to submit your life to God and you want to resist the enemy and he will begin to flee from you. Today is your day. And right there in your seat, I just want you to pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I submit to you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I'm so tired of doing things my own way. Today, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. I'm turning from my sin, and I'm giving my life to you. I'm gonna follow you all the days of my life. The Word says that it's the best decision that we can make because we inherit eternal life. And we received a free gift of salvation. Some of you in this room right now, just if you would just keep your eyes closed. Some of you have walked with the Lord for a long time. And somehow, some way, you've gotten off track. Maybe it was a decision or your guard was down and you did something and you are so, you live every single day with shame. And I speak against shame in the name of Jesus. I rebuke it. It has to leave. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But if God is convicting you today, turn to Him. Turn back to Him. At 3 a.m. 10 days ago, my daughter had the stomach bug and I could hear her throwing up from across the house through the monitor. I ran in there. I saw she was covered in vomit. There was never one moment that I said, I won't pick you up, my child, because you're dirty. I picked her up and I held her close to me. And God wants to do that to you today. He wants to pull you in close and say, you have not gone too far to be cleaned up by me. And He wants to meet you right in the middle of your sin. And I believe salvation is in this place today. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for Christmas, but man, thank you for Easter, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for us.